Blog Talk Radio.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Large Marge returns. Good evening and welcome to a reenactment.
A reenactment? Really?
Of the Saturday. Yeah, it is. Of the Saturday, August 12th show that never aired. Thanks, Blog Talk. I'm Dale Cage.
Yeah, we did it. We did it, but it just weren't there.
It wasn't there. We performed the entire night. I don't want to say for naught, because nothing is for naught. Naught is for naught. But no, there's always a reason for something. But not certainly what we intended, which was to bring you live entertainment, but we failed thanks to Blog Talk and some kind of faux pas. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We're back, and we're making it up to you, folks. So this is our Madcap Monday makeup show. It's the second part of our Hitchhiker Weekend from August 11th and 12th. And here we go. I'm Dale Cave from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Eagle from Witness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we may have one or two more join us before the night is through. You never, ever know.
They threatened to, so let's see what happens.
They did, you know? They did.
You just never know. Just never know.
Yep, yep. Bring up our shows here so I can
and two
get some
tea. Terrific shows. Fogsbane and good old Bob joining us in the chat on a Monday yet. Thank you guys so much. You mean the world to us, and I'm not just saying that. It make it worthwhile to do this when we get the live responses. And you just have our undying gratitude. So, we got Inner Sanctum, and I didn't mean to blow that off like it was nothing, but it's time to move on. A whole lot of radio.
Yeah.
Inner Sanctum and Crisis.
Absolutely. Two wonderful shows, as we already know. All about hitchhiking.
Well, one of us wasn't supposed to know. You know I like being surprised by these.
You like to be surprised. I know you're disappointed that, in a way, that you're hearing them again this soon. But, hey, you know,
no.
Circumstances.
Yeah, I had that done when I was little. It was like a bris.
No, that was a circumcision, Dale. Circumcision. That's a little different.
Oh, yeah,
A little different.
Sorry.
Whoops.
My language got clipped. But anyway.
Yeah.
The only thing.
Turning Riley on me there. Be careful.
That's right. I figure if I'm obnoxious enough, we can get CW in here to choke, bring me around the neck.
Yeah.
Throttle me, as it were. Or at least give me a good dose of correction, which I often need.
And we both do at times. And, you know, mm-hmm. she helps keep us on the straight and narrow path when she's here. But when she's not, it's free for all.
When the cat's away, the mice will play, and play we shall. Some old-time radio. In addition to those, we got a neat little feature from Red Skelton we're going to share with you as well.
Yep.
Also dealing with hitchhikers.
Yep.
And
there may be a special report coming up later on. There may be.
There may be, and some hitchhiker tales from folklore, and one other thing.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
That's right. That'll be me beating the hell out of that soundbite as we said goodbye not long ago to Mr. Paul Rubens, P. Herman himself.
Yep.
Passed through the gates to...
You've got another great adventure there.
Yeah, hopefully somewhat less troubled than his journeys in this world.
Yeah, he never really could escape. Although he did a couple times, he really didn't escape Pee-wee very much.
No. And there was a long time he would not come out of character for anybody when being interviewed.
That's true.
Would not come out of character. Disturbing. Much like Andy Kaufman. But anyway, it's another disturbed individual. Troubled young man.
Very true. Well, very true. Yeah.
Well, we got some troubling shows, at least if you're a hitchhiker or in need of hitchhiking. And I was going to demand that we just perform it exactly as we did Saturday, but it's not recorded. There's no record of it. And half the time we make up the what we're going to say on the fly. So sorry about that.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for that fly, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
How many flies I feel sorry for, but that fly I feel sorry for.
Yeah, he had to hear the whole thing. Now he's got to hear it twice if he's alive.
Yeah, that's right. Wait a second. There's a fly on my wall that just committed suicide. Hey, that's
it
not fair.
It must be him. It
not
be
fair
him.
And not nice.
It must have been him.
Not fair and not nice. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
You know how flies commit Harry Carey in our house. Come within 10 feet of me. And I'll show you.
I'll do it.
Let that fly come within 10 feet of me. I'll show you what happens. Oh, right. Anyway. Yeah, I guess I'm a real badass when it comes to flies. But
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Let's begin, shall we? Where did we start last time? I don't know.
I think we started with Inner Sanctum Mysteries, I do believe.
Then let us begin on that path again. Give some of our cohorts and callers a chance and others a chance to call in or sign in and get in here. Here we go with part one of Inner Sanctum, called The Hitchhiking Corpse. And I'll bet Dave's about to tell us more.
It is coming to us from January 23rd of 1950.
Yee.
Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host inviting you into the inner sanctum. Come in, come on in. Oh, come on, we love company. Simply can't do enough to them. We've got lots of games custom designed for our guests. They'll simply slay you. The favorite's called a Tisket, a Casket. But the game we play best is called Revival. Oh, it's wonderful. You pass out and we try to revive you. If we don't, you don't. And now for our eerie spell, the hitchhiking corpse. Climb up on the driver's seat. Sit close to the driver. Sean O'Hara, a bewitched man with deep-set eyes. Hear what he has to tell about the beautiful corpse of Medoc County, the girl who lost her head over him.
Eileen, the last time I saw her, she was standing where she always waits for me. On the little white bridge where the road takes a bend around Moon Hollow. I could hear her call for me to stop. But I wasn't going to stop for her. Not anymore. My mind was made up to that. And then a lightning flash burned over her like a million lighted candles. And she was standing there where she always waited for me. Without her head. Eileen had lost her head. Am I right in my mind now, I'm wondering? These things I know, these things that I saw, was it a dream? A man's imagination gets tipsy when he drives a great silver van 400 miles in the loneliness of the night. Eileen. The first time I saw her, she was standing where she stood the last time on a little white bridge near Moon Hollow. Climb in, miss. Ah, yeah. Sit deep in your seat with your head low. It's a black mark in the book for me if the company inspectors see you riding in the cab. I'll be docked.
They won't see me. Only you can see me, son.
Only I can see. Why, you're calling me by name.
No, I'm making up a name for you.
But it is my name, Sean, Sean O'Hara. It's an uncanny bit of making up you just did, Miss...
Try, Sean. If you try, you too can do an uncanny bit of making up.
With your hair like it is, and your face, just one name suits. Only one name.
And my name?
Eileen.
I am Eileen.
And just where are you riding to?
To Medoc County. But Sunday, not tonight.
Medoc County is a good 80-mile ride from Moon Hollow. Is it someday, I heard you say?
Yes, someday I'll be riding to Medoc County. And it will be you who will take me there.
Oh, just little to that. I always pass through Medoc. It's on my route.
My people came from up there. It's a big house we once had. A great big house. Without windows.
Without windows, you say?
There was a great hall and a great long table with my people sitting round it. The living and the dead.
The living and the... A house without windows and now it's the living and the dead. You're a pretty one. But you're as batty as a loon.
Am I really a pretty one to you, Sean?
Sure. Pretty hair, eyes to light up a man's dream, and dainty little hands. The two of them fit into one of mine. A face?
A face, Sean.
No, the face I cannot trace.
Why not?
With all the war paint on it, if I didn't bite my tongue, I might say that what I see smeared over your cheeks is blood.
Don't bite your tongue, Sean.
You're getting out. Trust Sean O'Hara to pick up a gibbering farm girl who smears her face with chicken blood. Good night to you.
Good night, Sean. I'll be waiting again tomorrow night at Moon Hollow. I'll be watching for you.
I watched her go, sailing off on the mist. As high as my eyes could go, I could see her riding into the sky like a night witch, and then blowing into the smoke of the moon. There had been no Eileen. I dreamed her up in my fat head. A man's imagination gets tipsy when he drives a great silver van in the loneliness of the night. Away up, I pulled into the yard behind old Morgan's diner to sleep the night from 2 to 6, curled up in my cab like I always did. I'm a hearty man and a steady sleeper, not given to dreaming. But this night, bad luck to me, I dreamed. She was leaning over me, Eileen, with the moon in her eyes. And now the blood was wet on her cheeks and running down in big red beads to splash my shirt.
The old mill house in Medoc, where the water falls in Medoc.
The old mill house in Medoc, where the water falls.
The old mill house in Medoc, where the water falls. You must see that the dead go home.
See that the dead... Eileen. Eileen. Eileen! But there was no Eileen. I've been dreaming. Dreaming, but the radio was playing loud enough to wake the dead. The dreaming man doesn't turn on the radio. Eileen!
You always wake up like a roaring lion of hell.
What?
It's me, Morgan. I guess you've had all the music you need to wake you up.
It was you who turned my radio on?
Me, it was. Were you thinking the radio turned itself on?
I had a dream about a girl.
A nightmare's more like what you had. From the looks of you, you were thrashing about in that seat and beating yourself on the face with your fist.
Beating myself? Why is that?
Well, the blood all over your shirt.
Blood?
Stop looking bewitched, O'Hara, and look in your truck mirror to your nose. You gave yourself a nosebleed in your sleep, and that, my boy, was no dream.
Eileen! I was an hour late for unloading in the Cloverville Depot.
Oh, Hera.
Yeah, Red.
Come over to the van a minute, where the Lotus can't get an airful.
Oh, you're acting funny.
We've got everything off the inventory calls for. But there are three other items. I threw a canvas cover over them before the boys got a look at them. Did you look into your van?
What's under the canvas cover, Red?
Coffins, O'Hara. Three old pine wood coffins. Want to tell me something?
Well, to tell you, well, sure, I almost forgot about those coffins. It's a side job. Some yokel undertaker down by Moon Hollow. I'm to drop them off somewhere, save him trucking charges that way, and make myself $20 side money.
Quit lying to me, O'Hara, and to yourself.
Oh, lying, you say? But it's a fact, Red, positively a fact. And I'm giving you half of the $20 for covering me. Wasn't one to pass up $20 for trucking three empty coffins.
The coffins aren't empty, O'Hara. And you never took a job from any local undertaker, either.
You seem to know a lot about something.
I know Route 266. I was born and raised here.
What is there to know?
For one thing, the red-headed witch of Moon Hollow, maybe. You might be trucking the dead for her.
Eileen?
Or any name you give her. She was Katie to a trucker named Conway who had your run once. To hear Conway tell it, Katie, or Eileen, was always trying to get him to take her dead out of Moon Hollow to somewhere else.
Tomato Cottage, to the old mill house.
Or somewhere. Anyhow, that's how the story usually goes. But what she's really out to do is drive you crazy.
How do you know there is such a girl?
Those pine boxes in there. I saw them on Conway's truck once, like they're on yours now. Conway dumped them right back in Moon Hollow. Take my advice. From now on, pass the redhead up. Jam your accelerator to the floorboard and go past her at 80.
I don't know what I'll do. What I did, bad luck to me on the trip back, was look for the waterfalls and the old mill house when I came to the Maida County line. Was there an old mill house where the waterfalls, I was wondering? Or was I a man looking hard to lose his mind? I brought one of the caskets to the ground. It wasn't empty, but there wasn't much weight to it either. I opened it. It held the dead all right, but not the face or the body of the dead. It was only the skeleton. Skeleton of someone dead more years than the mind can imagine. And there was a waterfall in the deep woods. The music of water, Eileen's voice splashing in it.
The old mill house, under the water, just me, just
me. And there was an old mill house down below the rocks. A stone house without windows, like Eileen had said. I pulled an old rusted bolt and opened the door to one great room and a table that went from wall to wall. It was old, and the flying dust could blind a man so he'd only see what his tipsy imagination would want him to see. I saw Eileen. Eileen standing before me with her arms out, like a thin shadow my eyes could see through to the wall.
Go bring the casket, son. Go bring the dead home.
Here's something terribly new in thumbing a ride. A witch hiker. And a neat switch, too, on the old boy meets girl formula. This one's boy meets girl. Eileen, now there's a bonny lass dead set on getting ahead. And if she keeps up the pace, she'll have O'Hara shorn of his sanity any mile now. Let's get back beside our bewitched trucker.
A man's imagination gets tipsy when he drives a great silver van in the loneliness of the night. But there was an old mill house where the water falls, as Eileen has said. And it was there I left three caskets of the old dead. Passing Moon Hollow on the way back, I stopped in at Morgan's diner for some warm and coffee. It was just old Morgan putting his profits into the screaming jukebox.
O'Hara, it's you.
Nobody else.
Well, I've been waiting all night for you to come.
I stopped for a time in Mayduck. Well, agitated the way you look. Have I slipped out on you for a meal?
No.
I don't understand the looks of you.
The shoebox. It's for you, you see? Your name's written on it. Sean O'Hara.
And left by whom?
The devil's own daughter. O'Hara, her face was enough to send a man hiding in his coffin.
A face all smeared with blood, was it?
You have seen her, too.
We are old acquaintances by now. When I left Morgan's prying eyes, I opened the shoebox. It held a small white envelope and an old rusted tin can. I opened the envelope. Two tickets there were to a costume party in the Moon Hollow Firehouse for the next night. And the tin can full of money. A showering of Indian pennies and buffalo nickels, coins with a grit and tarnish of years on them, like some miser had saved them in a secret nook of the kitchen. That was too much for a tired working man to puzzle out. My poor head would have none of it. I had a load to hold back that night. It was time enough for puzzles another night. She'd be standing on the little white bridge where the road takes a bend. And then I would put my questions to her. She was standing there the next night watching for me. Calling for me to stop.
Sean! Stop, Sean!
Her hair was wild as before and her face the same. Her dress was changed. It was a costume now she was wearing. All silk and gaiety like she was dressed up for a party.
Sean!
Yes, Eileen.
You weren't going to stop.
For a fact, no. You'll not be riding in my cab. And I'll not be trucking your dead ancestors anymore. Not for a barrel of nickels and pennies. Here, take your money back.
No. It was grandmother's savings. She wants you to have it.
Oh, so there's a grandmother too, is there?
Yes.
And when will she be riding along to the old mill house?
Tonight, Sean. She will ride with you tonight. And after that, I'll be riding with you to Mayduck too.
And that settles the count of your people?
No. It still leaves you, Sean.
Me? Am I hearing you say me?
Yes, you two will sit at the long table in the great hall of the dead. You will sit beside me.
Alive, is it to be, or dead?
Dead, Sean. Like us.
And what will snuff me out, a hardy man like me without a sickness?
You will just die. Your heart will just stop.
My heart will stop.
You don't want to sit beside me?
It's not by way of wooing a lady.
Sean?
Yes, Eileen.
Do you like my costume?
I do. And what's it for?
The dance at the firehouse. I thought you would take me.
I think not.
Then I will go alone. Good night, Sean.
Compliments of the evening to you, miss.
Not always good to pick up a girl hitchhiker, you know?
Yeah, especially one of those Irish girls, you know?
What's your Ted Bundy?
Them redheads.
Yeah. Unless you're Ted Bundy, then I guess.
Well, then you pick up whatever you want. Yeah.
Too soon? Too soon? Anyway.
Too soon. No.
You know, Dave, yep. I can tell you one of the original traits of our ghost.
Yeah?
Yeah, one of her legs is shorter than the other.
No, really? Why is that? You're pulling my leg. Or you're pulling her leg, or what?
No, I don't have to. Her name is Eileen.
Eileen. Oh, yeah. One would be shorter. I didn't even catch that one.
Yeah, well, you know. Fogsbane did earlier in the chat.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. That's half the fun of the chat, the live response and our opportunities to joke around a little bit with each other. But if you're listening elsewise, you might want to just register and make yourself a little presence here. We'd love it. There you go.
Yeah, we enjoy our live chatters and our live callers and the dead callers, too, as long as they don't, you know, leave a musty smell in the Erie house again.
Yeah.
I told you we needed a stronger deodorizer, Dale.
We do. Well, I think we should get through one more segment. We'll get through the rest of Inner Sanctum before we start delving through some of the material we shared last time when you didn't hear us. Okay?
Sounds like that could work.
There's always a way to say something. Anyhow, we'll wrap up The Hitchhiking Corpse from Inner Sanctum.
But instead of sleeping in old Morgan's yard, there I was just before the midnight hour, in the costume of a trucker with a tottering mind, and looking for Eileen in the firehouse. I found her in her silk and gaiety where the Japanese lanterns were dimmest, wearing a mask like the others were, but not dancing like the others. Eileen?
Sean.
You're not surprised I came?
I knew you'd come.
You're not dancing?
The music is stopped?
It's unmasking time. Midnight's not a minute away. The caller's announced.
Attention! Attention, everybody! It's midnight! Everybody! Unmask!
You're not unmasking, Eileen.
You unmask me, Sean O'Hara.
All right, I'll... Speak again. Say my name again.
Sean O'Hara.
The voice. It's not the voice of Eileen.
I am not Eileen. Put your hand to my mask, Sean.
Yeah. You're an old lady.
I am old. And the life you see is the last I have to show. Look at me for the last time, O'Hara. I am Eileen's grandmother.
But Eileen, she was here. Her hand was in mine. Dressed in the costume with the silken gaiety you're now wearing.
Eileen slipped away to leave me with you. You have business with me now, Sean.
Business, you say?
Take me to Medoc County. The old mill house where the water falls. I'll be waiting to ride with you, O'Hara. Don't be long.
I drove the lonely night to the Maida County line with my freight of storage eggs and canned goods and the dead in a pine box. The old grandmother in her silks was in her casket. I didn't bother to ask whose job it was. I put the questions to Eileen the next time she waited for me where the road takes a bend around Moon Hollow. And she was there like I know she'd be, pointing her thumb to hitch a ride.
Sean, stop for me! Sean!
But I didn't stop this last time. I did what the checker Red Lacey said Conway failed to do and what I must do. I passed her up. I pushed the gas accelerator to the floor and passed her by an 80. A shriek where the highway bends into Moon Hollow. But I didn't leave Eileen behind. She was on the seat beside me.
You didn't want to stop, Sean.
She was beside me. Without her head.
I'm dead, Sean. Dead. Now drive me to Medoc County.
Imagination gets tipsy. The sheriff of Maida County is one to know it. And the doctor beside him looking at me with eyes of pity is one to know it, too. I hear them talking to me. but the words go sailing into the smoke of the moon. I listen, but I do not understand.
You ran over on the bridge down in Moon Hollow last night. A 20-ton truck, O'Hara. Her head was severed. I'll tell you all you need to know about Eileen Grant, her grandmother, and her people. They were run out of the old mill out of Medoc County about 30 years ago. Native superstition did that. The family was thought to have, well, call it evil powers. Where'd you take Eileen to, O'Hara?
Huh?
Eileen, what did she do with the body?
I'll take you to her. Come, I'll take you to her. I took them, the sheriff and the doctor, to the old mill house where the water falls. Here's Sheriff and Eileen and her people sitting around the table in the great hall of the dead.
Oh, hell. To do this, to set them around the table like that, you couldn't be in your right mind, man.
No, I couldn't be. And I'm the one to admit that. I'm not in my right mind to sit here beside Eileen now. What can there ever be between a man and a girl? Sitting and rotting in an old mill with their ancestors looking on.
O'Hara. O'Hara. Say, Doc, take a look at him.
O'Hara's dead.
Dead? To sit down and die just like that?
Just like that, Sheriff. O'Hara's heart just stopped. As if he willed it to stop.
Now that O'Hara's given up the ghost, there's a job open. Somebody. As a special inducement to insanity, a pretty girl goes along with every truck. Oh, sorry, friend. I can't tell you which of the two jobs is the more harrowing. Moral? Oh, sure. I've got one carved right here on my vertebrae. This is for any motorist who runs across Eileen. Give her the go-by, Bob. All she'll get you is dead mileage. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum has been brought to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, voice of information and education.
May not be the last time you...
Or go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to just say, it may not be the last time you hear that tonight.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I never tire of hearing Large Marge.
Yes. Creepy lady. She's a creepy, creepy lady.
That she is.
Scared
of
the...
Tonight she's our creepy lady.
Yep. Yep, she is. Well, I'll tell you what, CW did some research for us, dug into some lore, and I saved it from the Saturday show you never heard. And this is a piece of something that she found. So here it is.
Okay.
Jerry, driving home late one night, saw a lady waiting by a bus stop. He stopped his car, told her he didn't think the buses were running and offered her a ride. A lot of newspaper headlines start this way. Due to the night chill, Jerry offered his jacket. His passenger wasn't much for conversation. He managed to learn the lady's name was Mary and she was on her way home. Driving for an hour, they arrived, at least it wasn't Eileen. Driving for an hour, they arrived at her home. Jerry said good night. She went in the front door. Jerry went home. The next day, Jerry remembered that Mary still had his jacket. So he drove to Mary's house, knocked on the door. An older woman answered. Jerry told her about the ride he'd given her daughter Mary, and he'd come back to get the jacket he lent her. The older woman looked very confused. Jerry noticed a picture of Mary on the mantle. He pointed to it and told the older woman that was the lady he'd given a ride to. Her voice shaking, the older woman told Jerry her daughter had been dead for years, the result of an auto accident while she was trying to get home. Mary was buried in a cemetery an hour away. Jerry ran to his car, drove to the cemetery. He found his jacket neatly folded on top of a grave. The name on the gravestone was Mary.
Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent you.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Marge. Thank you, Marge.
Okay, I got one here, Dale.
All right.
The Niles Canyon Ghost is one of the less known tales of the vanishing hitchhiking ghosts. This legend describes a young girl who died in a car crash on the way to her high school prom. The car crashed into the Niles Canyon, and she was never seen again. Not alive, anyway.
Uh-oh.
Ever since then, her ghost has returned to the road on the day she died, February the 26th. Drivers see her wandering the road in her dress. So they pick her up. She tells them where she lives. They agree to drive her there. She soon disappears. The drivers visit the address. She told them to take her, and they find a rundown, abandoned house.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
That's right.
Tell them Large Marge.
You tell them Large Marge.
She's everywhere. Well, so that's jump start to some creepy hitchhiker tales. Let us continue.
We'll have
on
more
our
to go.
Madcap merriment. Do we want to jump right into our second show, or shall we throw in our little feature?
You know, why don't we throw in our little Red Skelton feature?
All right, Dave, you got any liner notes for this one?
Actually, yeah, the only thing I have, it is from September 2nd of 1939. How's that
wow.
Early radio?
This is early Red Skelton.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to our slice of life, things that happen in everyday life that you do and that I do, in fact, all of us do. You set the scene, will you, Dale?
Right, Red. Well, as the scene opens, a young couple is found riding along the highway in an automobile. It's a beautiful night. Edna Stilwell plays the part of the romantic young girl, and Red Skelton plays the part of the handsome young man. Handsome. It's a very dark night, folks. Listen.
Say, can't this car go any faster?
It can, but I ain't going to get out and push it. Say, isn't it a beautiful night? Shall we pause and look at the moon?
We'll look at the moon, but you keep your paws to yourself.
See, isn't it romantic driving along the road? Here we are, all alone, just you and me and the good humor men. Uh-oh, I think we're out of gas.
Now, don't give me that stuff.
Why, ain't you got no money? Oh, it seems to be all right now. There for a minute, I thought we were going to have a little siphon work.
What's that down the road?
I don't know. Looks like a couple of hitchhikers. Shall we pick them up, or shall we just whiz by and let them swear at us?
I don't know. It's awful dangerous picking up strangers.
Yeah?
And besides, I don't think they're hitchhikers.
What?
Look, it's a dark night, and they aren't wearing neon thumbs.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're just beginners. I feel sort of sorry for them. Let's pick them up, huh? I got to get that sound man fixed. Say, you want a ride, fellas? Well, get in there in the back seat there. Make yourself at home.
Thank
thanks.
Gee, I hope it's comfortable back there for you.
I wish you hadn't picked those guys up.
Whoa.
They look bad. And did you see the bulge that big one has under his arm?
Yeah, I bet he buys his clothes the same place I do. Well, what can you expect for box top? Listen, don't worry. Just switch on the radio there. Gee, it warmed up fast tonight.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Two prisoners escaped tonight from the state penitentiary. They were last seen on Highway 41. That is all.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Two escaped convicts on Highway 41.
Yeah.
What highway is this?
It ain't the road to Mandalay.
I'll bet they're the convicts.
Uh-oh.
Look in the mirror and see what they're doing.
Oh, they're feeling around in their pockets.
They're looking for the gun.
Yeah.
Gee, in a minute you may be dead.
Yeah.
I mean all together.
Yeah.
Look, one of them reaching out his hand.
Say, buddy, have you got a match?
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, yeah. Yeah, here's a cigarette lighter. Just keep it. I got plenty more.
Have you got a cigarette?
Yeah, you just move in. Here's a whole pack. I'm sorry, I don't have a carton.
Well, as I was saying, Bill, before we picked up this ride, the best killings are done scientifically.
Uh-oh.
Now, this afternoon, I killed 11 of them. And there wasn't a sound out of any of them.
Oh.
Stop sticking out your tongue.
That's not my tongue, that's my heart.
Well, don't let them know you're scared.
I'm not scared, I'm just scared. I'm scared I'm going to get scared.
Well, if you're not scared, you better call back your eyes.
Yeah.
Do you take a knife like this and then with a quick stab?
Oh, sure, sure. It's quicker that way, and they don't suffer so much.
Yeah, I'll bet it's more fun, too.
By the way, how would you like a big, fat head?
I think they're talking about you now.
Yeah, a couple of those trousseau murderers. Boy, this road's getting darker and darker. Oh, look, there's a sign. It says 20 miles to Goslow.
Boy, you are scared. 20 miles to Goslow. It says speed limit, 20 miles an hour. Go slow.
Look, Ed, I'll try to talk them into letting you go free, but I want you to know that I love you, and I've only been untrue to you once.
You have?
Yeah, once I kissed a chorus girl on the forehead.
On the forehead?
Yeah.
She wasn't a chorus girl.
Yeah.
And besides, I thought you were the one who never looked at another woman.
Now, look,
now, look,
dear, listen, don't fight. I want the last few minutes to be happy ones. Well, farewell, my love.
Oh, look, there's a filling station.
Yeah.
You pull in there and I'll start yelling for help.
Yeah, and the guy will probably run out and start wiping off the windshield.
Say, Bill, don't you think these people are acting rather funny?
Yes. And did you notice the man looks just like Lepke?
Well, I'll tap him on the shoulder and we'll introduce ourselves.
Help! 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 Please, help!
My good man, what's the trouble?
Don't try to play innocent. We heard every word you said, brother.
And about 11 people your pal killed.
Yeah, those 11 people your pal killed.
Why, I didn't kill 11 people.
Oh, you don't even count them anymore, huh? you're clever criminals, but we heard every word you said.
Just a minute. Hold on there, fella. Here's my card.
Yeah?
Well, I'm Bill Green of the State Animal Husbandry, and I'm here to show the farmers how to butcher their cattle scientifically.
Oh,
yes. Yes. And I'm Parson Smith.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Pardon me. Well, did you hear that, Edna? There are a couple of restaurants. Oh.
Can we do anything to repay you for your kindness?
Yes, you can get me a glass of water. My caveman just caved in.
There you go. Hitchhiking with Red Skelton.
Shall we do another couple of stories?
Why shouldn't we? I got one for you.
Go ahead.
The White Rock, the Lady of White Rock Lake. White Rock Lake is a larger reservoir in Texas, a fairly normal lake other than the bizarre legends surrounding it. Legend tells us that the area surrounding the lake is haunted by the Lady of White Rock Lake. She died during the 1930s at the young age of 20. To suit this, she can be seen wearing an old-fashioned dress soaked through with water. Like every other vanishing hitchhiker, she hitches a ride with kind strangers. A few minutes into the journey, she tells the driver she was just involved in a boating accident. Seconds after telling this, she completely disappears, leaving behind a soaking wet book, which contains no words, just blank pages. Ooh, how about that?
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
That's a book I could read. All right. And one more here. Bluebell Hill is a historic chalk hill in southern England. It's a designated site of scientific interest, but it's also a site of creepy interest. People have reported seeing ghostly hitchhikers there since the early 1970s. In 1974, a man reported seeing a young girl appear in the road ahead of his car. She collapsed to the ground immediately, so he stopped the car to help her. She was bleeding as if she had just been run over. Legend tells that she asked him, "Why did you hit me?" He covered her with a blanket, drove away to inform the police, but by the time the police arrived, the girl was gone, but the bloody blanket remained. This story has supposedly been repeated more than once. Right, Large Marge?
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
I think Marge and the goat, those two things can just keep me going all night long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marge and the goat. Well, CW must have got tied up. We haven't seen her yet. Hopefully she's safe wherever that may be.
Maybe she's had to do that 34-letter word work.
There you go. And Gar the Ghoul recovering. I know you gentlemen dropped in on him Saturday night. I stopped in for a bit, and he was in pretty fine voice considering.
He was. By the end of the night, it was he was pretty hoarse, but Buddy's a pretty horse anyway. So you know, anyway. I tried calling him yesterday to see how he was doing, but no pickup, so he's still recovering.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
Yeah, that's better than Gar sounded by the end of the show. His voice was pretty much, shall we say, gone kaput, but that's okay.
Yep. But he's a trooper.
He made it.
He made it. He crossed the finish line.
Yep.
And a more contemporary story from the Silver Age of Radio. We do have an episode of Crisis called Knight Rider.
Yes, we do indeed. This was episode number 41, and it comes to us from August 29th, coming right up here, in 1974.
Sooner or later, when you least expect it, there comes a point of no return, a dead end from which there seems no escape, a moment in time, a moment of crisis.
A crisis for the goat?
Driving a heavy diesel tractor hauling cargo on a night run can be one of the loneliest occupations on earth. And yet it suits some men to ride the high cab, to preside over hundreds of horsepower and thousands of pounds as their headlights blaze through the night. This is the story of one such run, as told by a driver named Larry Talmadge, whose loneliness and generosity overruled his head on an evening run through the Diablo Mountains in California, when he decided to stop to pick up two riders, a young woman and her baby, and found himself squarely in the middle of a mystery. In a moment, Crisis brings you Michael David McGuire's baffling story called Knight Rider.
My name's Larry Talmadge. I've been a trucker now for 15 years. I guess you could say that I've been somewhat successful. Two of my own rigs, nice house, beautiful wife, and two boys. The oldest plays football, good grades, He'll go to Stanford next year on a scholarship. When you've been at this business as long as I have, you run into a lot of strange things. Freak ice, flat tires, washed out bridges, and lots of people. Wish I could remember all the faces I've seen. But the strangest thing by far that ever happened to me was about 5 years ago. I had contracted with a builder in Stockton to haul a load of construction material to Clayton in rural Contra Costa County. Simple job. I was driving their rig, only 40 miles or so, paid good money. It was July, that hot time of the year when the creeks dry up and the hills turn a dusty brown. I picked up my load and was leaving Stockton and that evening, hoping to be back sometime before midnight. My first stop was in Byron, not much of a town. It's where the main highway hooks up with County Road J4, the two-lane road that would take me through the Diablo Mountains onto Clayton. I'd never driven this particular highway, so I thought that it might be a good idea to stop at the little cafe in town to ask some questions. Road conditions, you know. Besides, I was a little hungry. Good cup of coffee, a sandwich. Always tastes just right when I'm on the road. It was a small place, one of those home-cooked kind of places. It was clean. It was called Rose's Cafe.
Hi.
Hi. What's good?
Well, the turkey was good, but it's all gone. I've got roast beef, ham, lunch meat, and...
How about a roast beef sandwich, lots of mayonnaise? Do I get a salad?
Sure. What kind of dressing?
What do you have?
Blue cheese, Thousand Island, oil and vinegar, French.
Blue cheese.
Soup, got beans. A tomato. Fair warning, the tomato's not too hot.
Yeah, make it bean. You ought to know.
Okay. Roast pan, heavy mayo. Coffee?
Yeah. Cream too, please. Yeah, thanks. The coffee was great. A nice waitress. You probably know the type. You see them all across the country in little cafes and bars. Same kind of girls, just different faces. My sandwich was pretty good, too. Usually, when the food is good, a place is crowded, but I was the only one in Rose's Cafe that evening. That is, until I was almost half finished with my meal. It was an old man, a farm worker, I guessed. Dark, wrinkled skin, short gray hair. The backs of his hands were like leather. He was slightly stooped, and he walked with a slow, measured pace. He seemed to know the waitress and the cook in the back. He waved to them and then took a stool at the counter. His eyes were fascinating. There was a brightness to them, a certain spark of youthfulness, of life. So strange to see these eyes in such an old body. I couldn't help but watch him as I finished my sandwich. He noticed me watching and turned toward me to speak.
So you are a truck driver, senor?
Yes, just bringing a load out from Stockton. It's kind of hot out there today, huh?
Si, senor. Do you go back tonight?
Yeah, later on. Have to drop this load off in Clayton first.
Ah, senor, but it gets to be night now.
Well, I think I can handle that. Hey, do you know the roads around here? The road to Clayton?
Todo mi vida, all my life, has been spent all year. Since I was a little boy, I know these mountains, senor. They are evil.
Especially when it gets this hot.
It is not to laugh. This road you drive, it is a bad road for day. It is not a road to drive in darkness.
Well, I just...
These thought... are the Diablo Mountains. Do you know what Diablo means in my language?
It means devil, doesn't it?
Si, senor. It is evil.
More coffee?
Oh, no. No, thanks. I should be getting on. How much do I owe you?
Roseanne, coffee, 60 and a dime, 70. Taxes, let me see, 4 cents? 74.
Yeah, sounds good. There you go. The rest is for you.
Thanks. Bye.
Senor, I tell you, do not die in the Diablo Mountain.
Well, thanks. I don't really plan on dying anywhere. At least not for a while, anyway.
Just remember what I say, senor. For to die in the Diablo Mountains... is for your soul to go to hell.
Hey,
It was about 8:30 or so as I pulled my rig back onto the highway. The sun was low in the sky. Wind was blowing. It was dusty, hazy. It seemed so unreal. The old man's words about the evil in the mountains came back to haunt me. It wasn't so much what he said about the devil and all, but the way he said it. It's just funny sometimes how things like that will stick in your mind. Anyway, I'd been driving only a few minutes when in a fading light I saw a figure standing on the shoulder of the road near a large formation of jagged rocks. It was a girl, hitchhiking. She had long brown hair that was blowing in the wind and wore a light blue dress and was carrying a small bundle wrapped in a long blanket. It was a baby. Well, I usually don't pick up riders, but she looked so intent, almost desperate. Besides, the sun was just going down. It was getting dark, and I knew that it would be getting chilly pretty soon.
Hey. Hey, hop in. I'm going as far as Clayton.
Thank you. Thank you. How far is Clayton?
Well, about 20 miles, I guess. Just on the other side of the mountains.
Oh. It's cold out here. Baby doesn't like the cold. What's your name?
I'm Larry Talmadge.
I'm Susan. And this is my little son, Matthew.
Bad night.
Do you have children?
Yeah, two boys.
Do you love your children? I love my baby so much.
Yeah. Kids are great, all right. Sure can be a lot of trouble at times, though. Well, where are you going, Susan?
Out of the mountains. If I can make it.
Sure you'll make it. Haven't lost a load yet. Or a rider. You know, I've been doing this a long time. You get to see a lot of road. What kind of work do you do?
I won't work anymore.
Oh, yeah, with the kid and all. Hard to get away, isn't it?
I think I'll go to Clayton.
Sure. That's where I'm going. We drove on for several more minutes, exchanging small talk, and I couldn't help but feel sorry for the girl. She had a pretty face, but she seemed distracted, worried, not quite all there, like maybe she'd been drinking or was on pills of some kind. She kept looking out the window, the whole while holding the baby close to her. I couldn't really tell, but the baby seemed sickly, moved very little, and was kind of pale. I remembered my own boys when they were small, and that didn't seem too normal. Yet all this while, there was an intensity about her, a purpose, as if her only thought was the end of that road. She wasn't very talkative, and what she did say was not always clear. I figured that there was just something in her past that she wanted to get away from and that she didn't really want to talk about.
How much longer?
A few more minutes.
It's a long road. Does it seem cold in here to you? I feel so cold.
Oh, well, let me turn this heat on. And there's a jacket behind the seat there. Go ahead and wrap it around you. Are you married, Susan?
What?
I said, are you married?
Oh, yes.
Are you going to see your husband?
I can't. I love my husband so much.
Where is he?
At home.
Where's that?
Back there.
Ah, I see. How old is the baby?
3 weeks. He's just a little baby. You know, they're people when they're that old. Sometimes I think I know what he's thinking. Can babies smile when they're little?
I guess so.
I think he smiles. I think babies can tell when you love them. It seems so dark.
Oh, it's the mountains. The sun goes down faster. You warmer now?
No. It's so dark. This is an evil place, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know about that. I bet it's kind of pretty in the day. The rolling hills.
I've never been here before, but there's something out there.
Huh? Look, you were talking to an old Mexican in a cafe, were you?
What?
Nothing. Just some old guy with some stories about the mountains.
What did he say?
Oh, hey, nothing. Just some corny thing about El Diablo. For me not to die in the mountains.
Oh.
Hey, look, kid. Hey, what's wrong?
I can't let anything happen to my baby. I'd give up myself for my baby.
All right, hey, look now, look. Is the baby sick or something?
No. We'll be okay. I just want to be away.
Well, do you have friends in Clayton?
Yes. Yes, I'll be okay there. Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you. You were my last ride for the night. Thank you for the ride.
Glad to help out.
Do you believe in God?
Sure. I guess so. Used to be a Baptist.
I never went to church much. Funny how you remember stuff like that. Do you think God knows?
Well, I guess he knows just about everything. You know, I never really thought about it much one way or the other. It's sort of a personal thing, I guess.
I hope he's there. Do you ever pray?
Maybe in a quiet way. Maybe just to hope for something really important.
I never did pray. I used to do some bad stuff. Do you think they would hold it against my baby?
Who do you mean by they?
I don't know. Were you ever baptized?
I guess so. I don't really remember.
My baby wasn't baptized.
Oh, well. You know, maybe that doesn't really matter. I always thought that maybe it was what was on the inside of a person. That's what really counts.
Do you think there's a heaven?
You're really in a down mood.
Is there a heaven?
Sure, I guess.
You're a very nice man. I wish I could thank you.
Well, thanks. It's not much further now. The end of the mountain's coming up. Clayton can't be much further. Hey!
Uh-oh. This hitchhiker spells trouble. Absolute trouble. Oh, great. We're Dave-less.
No, I'm sorry. You know, it helps when you take your mic off mute. You know that? Hey, turn me on. There we are.
Well,
can you hear me?
I'll turn you on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can
hear
you.
On?
Yes, I can.
I was just saying that there is a heaven, and I was there once, but she still slapped me. You know?
Yes. Well, I'll turn you on, Dave. Hey, Dave, we're playing radio.
No.
Ooh. Oh. Anyway. There's something no one wanted to hear.
Oh, I'm not logged in. Okay, how nice. All right.
Yeah, come back and join us.
Anyway.
In the chat. Creepy hitchhiker lady.
Yeah, creepier than Large Marge.
Indeed. Well, I'm not going to invoke Large Marge just by mentioning her name. She's got to earn it by suffering through a couple of more hitchhiker tales, including the one about the vanishing nun. You know, Dave, in the 1970s, there was a whole string of reports involving the hitchhiking ghost of a nun on some small roads near to the German-Austria border, where the nuns were picked up by kind drivers. During the journeys, she would only speak in Latin. I can play Kobasi better than you can. I don't know. Her speaking would pick up as the journey went on until she was speaking very quickly. This continued until she suddenly disappeared from inside the car. Similar stories came out of Italy during this period. Urban legend tells us that the nun could only be seen by Catholics who are going to die soon. She was a prophet of death.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
But nobody
Sister
knew it.
Mary Large Marge.
Yeah. No. Nobody knew because she was telling them in Latin. So how would they know?
That's true.
Anyway.
How would they know?
Here we go. One of my favorite vanishing stories, it says here, comes from New Zealand. Highway 94 is almost 160 miles long. So it might be hard to find this ghost if you want to. Not that you would want that. Each variation of the story claims that the ghost was in a different area. So I'm just going to assume it haunts the entire highway. Apparently, drivers often seen a native Maroni woman holding a frightened kitten. She appears to be hitchhiking by the roadside, so drivers often pull over to pick her up. But as soon as the car stops, the woman and the cat completely disappear.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
It was the worst accident I ever seen. That's how that scene starts, as I recall.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was.
It was the worst accident I ever seen. And she proceeds to scare the crap out of Pee-wee, because I think she was telling her own story, if I recall.
They usually are, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Those ghosts are kind of egocentric in that way. Their stories, it's always about them. It's always about them. Oh, wah.
That is always about them. Yep.
Ooh,
yep.
Creepy ghost music.
Yeah, I was thinking I had some more stories, but no, I don't.
Not at this time, anywho. Let's go ahead and wrap up Crisis with Knight Rider.
God, what was that? Hey, look, wait, it's all right.
What was it? What was it?
I don't know. Okay, all right. It was just a patch of fog. It was nothing.
We almost went off the road.
I know, but it's okay now. I'm not going to go off the road.
They'll get me yet.
All right, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I tried to comfort the girl, and she kept crying. I must say that whatever it was on the road kind of shook me up, too. I didn't know what it was. I've never seen anything like it before, but a fog, a thick black fog, it seemed to come from nowhere. Yet it was everywhere. It was so strange, I guess what shook me up most was that I almost did run off the road. That always scares me. We could have been killed. We were just a few more minutes, and we were out of the mountain. I pulled into Clayton, and the girl's whole outlook suddenly changed. I figured she was happy to be back in what I thought was her home. She had me drive her to a certain street, and I pulled up in front of a large old church.
Thank you.
Sure you're going to be okay now? I hope everything works out for you.
We'll both be all right. I know now that we will.
Is there someone who'd look after you?
Oh, they'll come and get us. Oh, my baby. Everything will be all right now. Everything seems so much better now.
I'm glad to help out. Look, maybe I'll see you again someday.
Oh, no.
Look, in my business, you see people all the time. I always see people again. Maybe years later, on the road, in a cafe. Good luck. After dropping the girl and baby off at the church, I'd gone about a block when I saw one of the baby's shoes on the seat next to me. I knew that the girl would want the shoe back, so I circled the block and pulled up in front of the church again. I got out and walked around to the back. I called the girl's name. I even knocked on the door of the church, but no one was around. And that seemed strange. So I put the shoe back in the cab of the truck. I could give it to her if I ever saw her again. I drove on to deliver my load, all the while thinking about this girl and baby. It seemed so strange. They just seem to have disappeared. I glanced at my watch. I was running a little ahead of schedule. Made my delivery at 10, had the truck unloaded by 10:30, didn't stop for coffee or anything. Wanted to get home. And I was heading back through the Diablo Mountains towards Byron the way I'd come. I'd been on the road a half hour or so, maybe 45 minutes, and it was 11:15. Up ahead of me, near the same jagged rock formation where I'd picked up the girl earlier, I saw the flashing lights of a sheriff's car. My God, I thought, not another wreck. I hate to see wrecks.
Anything I can do?
Yep, maybe. Got a couple of fatalities down there.
What happened?
Oh, a car went out of control. Went down this ravine. Nobody could see them from the road.
Oh, God.
Yeah, bringing them up now. Come on, give us a hand.
Sure.
Oh, what a shame. Killed the little one outright. Guess the girl lived for a while. Too bad nobody could see him from the road. Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter? You know him?
Yes.
No, not really. My God, it's the girl and her baby. I gave them a ride to Clayton earlier.
Oh? When was that?
I don't know. A couple of hours ago, just before sunset, I picked them up. Just up there on the road. I remember the rocks. She seemed upset, kind of drunk or doped or something. Not quite all there. Distracted. Poor girl.
And you dropped them off in Clayton?
Yeah, maybe an hour or so ago. She must have gotten her car and headed back this way.
When did you say you picked them up?
Oh, May 39, just before the sun went down.
I don't think that's possible.
Now, what do you mean, not possible? That's the girl. The blue dress, the brown hair, the face, the baby.
You say you picked them up about 2 hours ago. That's not possible.
No. Look, the baby is missing a shoe. I got that shoe in my truck.
Hey, look, that's impossible.
I have that shoe.
Now, look, buddy, I know you're a little shaken up, but the garden has been here already. These people died at least 6 hours ago.
Now, how do you account for a thing like that? Larry Talmadge swears he picked up the girl and her baby, talked with her, drove her to Clayton and let her off at a church 2 hours before he came upon the wreck on the mountainside, and yet the coroner reports they had already been dead at that time some 4 hours. The officer couldn't explain. Larry certainly couldn't. Can you? Perhaps it's a mother's love for her child, so strong that even after death, her only concern is for the child's place in eternity. Crisis has presented Knight Rider, starring Douglas Young and Pat French, with Lee Posh and John Amendola, and special guest star Norm Bobrow as the old Mexican. Script by Michael David McGuire, sound by Scott Bennett. Your director is Jim French. Crisis is distributed nationally by Nostalgia Broadcasting Corporation, Box 10914, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Like, I'm going to hear some Jethro Tull in a minute.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Okay, there if you go. Don't turn the mics on, Dale, I will.
I thought I had you on there, brother. Sorry about that.
No, you didn't have you on either.
No.
Only thing we heard was Large Marge once again.
Well, that's good.
I think it was Large Marge that did that. Yeah.
She could have. She could have.
She could have.
It was the worst radio program I ever seen.
Well, okay. That puts us in good company then.
Yep. That it does. Anyway, before
hey,
we... don't we have a project of some sort?
I did have a little event that happened to me just today. And I thought I would share that with everyone. All this talk about hitchhiking, well, this happened to me. That's a nice way to be heading home. Oh, wait a second. Looks like there's somebody on the side of the road there. Let me see if I can help her out. Pardon me. Is there some way I can help you?
Hitching a ride. Hitching a ride.
How far are you going? Not sure that I'm going that far, but you can ride with me as far as I'm going. Go ahead and get in. So, just how far are you going?
Going to the end of the line.
Have you been hitchhiking very long? At least you have a nice day for it. Is there a reason that you're leaving town? Why didn't you just kiss and make up?
If you think I'll crawl back for more, Big Daddy, you got a lot to learn.
So, do you have any plans from here?
Maybe I'll get a car. Maybe I'll drive so far that I lose track.
Are there any other plans? Well, I am coming to my destination. Where can I leave you off?
Down on the corner, out in the street.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
Yeah, I hope she does okay. She seems like a sweet kid. There you go. End of my adventure.
It was a nice adventure. Very kind of you to offer.
Nice,
very kind of you to offer, right?
Wasn't a big adventure. Yeah, it wasn't a big adventure, but it was a nice adventure, yeah.
Yep. Could have ended a lot worse.
It could have. Yeah, she could have disappeared on me. But I've had enough women in my life do that, so, you know, what the heck.
So who gets this treatise? This epic, this epoch.
You got an epoch and I got an epoch.
I'll start since I'm the Halloween guy. A day for spooks, goblins, candy, and ghost stories. Locally, one of the most famous ghost stories takes place along a stretch of Arkansas 365 between Pulaski County and Pine Bluff, which is said to be haunted by a young woman who's hitchhiking her way home. Though the accounts differ somewhat from person to person, the general consensus is that the woman died in a car accident many years ago and her spirit remains along the roadside. A particular blogger shared this account of the 365 hiker on Only in Arkansas. I guess that's the name of the blog. The wet pavement was, it was the worst accident I ever seen. No. The wet pavement. Yeah, Large Marge is a pirate, you know. The wet pavement was as black as ink on Arkansas 365 when Josh caught sight of a figure standing on the side of the road ahead, and a nice figure she was. The young woman was soaked to the skin and shyly grateful for the ride. She gave him an address in Redfield, and Josh made small talk about the recent high school football game as they drove, but his passenger remained quiet. When they arrived at the address, she seemed to be asleep, and there were no lights on at the house, so he decided to knock on the door first to make sure it was the right place. Woman came to the door, turned on the porch light, and he said, "Good evening, ma'am. I believe I have your daughter." I picked her up a few miles down the highway, and she seems a little out of sorts. I wonder if you wouldn't mind helping me get her into the house. The woman stepped back from the doorway with a fearful look, and Josh felt a sudden sense of dread. That is not my daughter. My daughter died in an accident 4 years ago tonight. Josh ran back to the car through the muddy yard and yanked open his passenger door, and rain pitter-patted on the empty seat. There are several versions of this story of a lone woman along the side of that road near Woodson. Each one involves picking up a hitchhiker who then disappears when the driver delivers her to the address she offers, always on the anniversary of her death. Don't you think that the woman living there would have something to say after a bunch of people brought the same dead girl home? Who knows? Some stories say the person at the house is a man. Others say a woman. In some retellings, the young woman asks the driver to go to the door. Others say she disappears before they arrive. Even more elaborate is the story of the driver tracking down the girl's grave and finding the coat she was wearing when he picked her up hanging on her headstone. It's a lovely tale of a residual haunting, a haunting that continues to occur over and over without any change in the story, as if it is on a looped recording. It's almost as though the grief and sadness of the woman's loss is so strong that it burned itself into the ribbon of time itself. Aha! Another guy reports, I've been researching this for years. Apparently, there was an accident in Woodson in the 40s involving a young man and a woman. In 1948, two correction workers making a delivery spotted the couple and a car between the bridge and railroad tracks on 365. The couple and car disappeared due to multiple reports of seeing the girl walking on 365 between the bridge and the town of Redfield. ASP investigated the incidents in 1980. This investigation made the newspaper. The story is retold in a movie called Encounter with the Unknown from 1973. Allegedly, the vanishing hitchhiker occurs only on stormy nights in the spring. Is it true? Who knows? Another writes, my dad told me this story for years. He's seen her with one of his friends, picked her up when he got close to where she lived, and she was gone. And his seat was wet. Well, he was kind of old. My grandpa used to tell me this story all the time. He has since passed away, but I remember the story quite well. Another reports, it's real. I seen her. She chilled my bones. How about that?
Okay. I have one here, Dale. I have a lady in the balcony.
Ooh. I thought you didn't kiss and tell. Oh, well. Anyway, here we go.
All right. We have Lydia, the phantom hitchhiker. On certain rainy nights where US 70 twists around a sweeping curve that passes by an old overground underpass, drivers will see a young woman in a white evening dress standing by the side of the road. She will be desperately trying to flag down any passing car. If anyone pulls over to help the young lady, she climbs meekly into the back of seat of the car and says that her name is Lydia. She will tell the driver that she's just been to a dance and now she's trying to get home. And she gives the driver an address not too far away. And he kindly agrees to take her there. The world of her own. So he just leaves her in a respectful silence and concentrates on the road ahead. When the car pulls into the address that the young woman gave, a chivalrous driver invariably hops out to open the door for her, only to discover that she has vanished. Perplexed, the man goes to the door, rings the bell, and the old woman answers. The man explains that he has picked up a young lady named Lydia by the overpass, who asked to be brought to this address, but she's no longer in the car. He wonders if she may have run out before he could have opened the door, and he just wants to know if she's safe and everything is all as it should be. A faint, pained smile of recognition passes over the old woman's face as she reaches for a picture in a silver frame sitting on the table by the door. The photograph of the young woman the man drove to the house. Lydia was my daughter, the old woman says. She died in a car wreck by the overpass in 1923. You're not the first one, and I suppose you won't be the last. Every so often, the spirit flags down the passing driver. I suppose she still doesn't understand what happened to her. I suppose she's still trying to get home. That's why an overgrown underpass near Jamestown is called Lydia's Bridge. Drive past it on a rainy night, and you may see Lydia, too. Well, there you go.
Lydia, oh, Lydia, she's got chlamydia.
Be sure to tell him Large Marge sent you.
Oh. Yeah, Large. You won't need CW. Large Marge is going to get after you.
Yeah, she is. She just got after me. And then you can get after us. We'll be back Friday, 6:30 Eastern. Hopefully things will be back to normal on our ski jewel. We're going to be raising the dead. Yeah. In fact, we finished with Crisis. We might as well start with Crisis on Friday. Also, House of Fantasy and Richard Diamond. And then Saturday marks the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater with more from the dead. So there you go. That's this coming weekend.
Friday, Monday. Just what? Oh, this is kind of 4 days away here.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? I don't know. Yep. I was asking. I didn't know.
Quite exciting.
Okay, we're gonna have, thank you.
I guess that show coming up in September is going to be a drive-in, ain't it?
It could be considered a drive-in.
Have you hosted that movie, Dave?
I have not. It's a little long for what I'm allowed, but if I find some few spots, slow spots I could take out.
There you go.
I could do that. Yeah.
I remember seeing that as a youth. We might as well tell folks, the Day of the Triffids is coming to Erie House Radio in September. And
it'll take both nights to tell it, yeah.
I thought the movie was very clever in how they brought about the Triffids and how the one guy was kind of spared from the initial impact of how they came. I'm not going to be a spoiler, but those of you familiar with the story will kind of know what I mean.
Yes, and we're having the 6-part BBC series, The Day of the Triffids.
Oh, I've been playing a soundbite here of late, and I haven't heard anybody guess what this is from.
Johnny has the keys.
That's right. We did keys this weekend.
We did and the John, keys. No, we didn't know.
Johnny has the keys. Does anybody know what that's from?
Johnny has the keys.
Yeah.
Knight Rider?
No. The speaker, the character's name is Barbara. That'll be my first hint. Nope, not Spider Baby, Fogsbane. The speaker's name is Barbara.
Johnny has the keys.
Yeah.
And she knows someone named Johnny.
Johnny Carson?
Nope.
No, I didn't do it.
Johnny has the keys. Johnny has the keys.
Overkill. Okay. Barbara was the girl from Night of the Living Dead who was a little bit whacked out, and she kept obsessing that Johnny might still be alive and that he had the keys to the car. And that is why she said...
Johnny has the keys.
Yep.
And did he?
We never found out. He was, by the time he showed up, he was dead. And I think he helped pull her out the window of the house towards the end of the flick.
Okay.
It might have been just before Ben went to the basement.
Yeah, it's the problem of being a living dead. You have holes in your pockets, and you can never hang on to your keys.
Yep. See you on Friday.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left. But me and him.
And just
when next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I did. I don't want to dig it.
So now I gotta know: is it a boy goat or a girl goat? It was almost perfect.
There's not a good way to answer that.
Yeah, no, there isn't. I'm setting you up.
There's no safe way to answer that. It's kind of like asking, when did you stop beating your wife? You know, come on.
Yeah, that's right. The minute she decided to stop playing checkers? There's a possible answer that keeps you out of trouble. Dave, you still there?
I am here. Oh. I are here. Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. What was that? Oh, okay. I'm still here. Okay.
All right. Am I'm not all here? Yes, you are.
Well, I'm never all here, so.
That's a good thing. Makes the show interesting. That and a whole lot of radio.
A whole lot of radio.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is a weekday. I'm not accustomed to it, but I'll be working tomorrow. I don't like working after radio. But
yeah.
Such as it is.
I well, it's not too late, you know, after all, so.
No. Thanks, everyone, for coming back for this reenactment of the show that never was. But it turned out to be a good thing, because then we would have never had your experience that you had.
It never was, right, because we didn't have my experience the day we didn't have our show recorded. That's right.
So maybe it was fated to be this way.
Kismet.
Yes.
Kismet.
Kismet who?
I don't know. Just
Okay. Didn't Elvis sing a song like that? I don't know.
Yep. No.
One of his movies. I don't know. But I do know this. We'll be back next weekend. Let's say we drag out the great one, Dave.
Let's do that. It's an early night. It's a Monday night. Let's go ahead and drag out the one, the only, Schnozzola Izzy. Turn off the house lights. Turn on the spotlights. And in the middle spotlight steps the great one, Jimmy Durant.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
But good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Arrivo, up we the thing, and
inka-tinka-doo.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Do you mind turning off the radio?